o'clock. We have no one in attendance. We have no one present to speak. We'll skip right to our live transmission from Hall School and the winter concert.
We're so techy.
Phil, can you hear us?
They're finishing up a number right now. I'll walk up there in a minute.
Can you hear us?
I
wanted to make sure I muted that on the other.
I think he's walking up, so we'll be able to see a little bit of it.
Oh, he's a kid. Went to Bible.
Yeah, I know. It's the wrong principle.
So tonight is the 5th and 6th grade concert, right. Winter concert.
Here we go.
Our next song is Alabama Tonight. It's a traditional Spanish Christmas carol and a famous lullaby. This minor piece has challenged us to sing fully in Spanish. We hope you enjoy the song.
That's a good advantage point.
Yeah, it's great.
I'll pass this one. Yeah. We'll just listen
to one song. I'll pass it. Pass it. Well, music costs money. The rights of music costs money.
It's great.
I love it. You can tell how little
they are. I know. Oh, sorry.
Mr. Phillips does an amazing job.
There's your world language and holiday celebration.
Do we want to sit it aside so nice. And we can listen while we work, though?
Reception, here's the...
Well, glad no one here had to miss any either.
That's great. We'll hear the beginning of the next one, then we'll turn it off.
Okay.
Both.
That means her sister Spanish too.
Yes,
exactly.
I think we did our whole point across it. Let's see where we are. There we go.
Okay. So thank you for that. I mean, it would be, especially when you're all done with your children at that school, it's nice,
so nice
to still hear things. You tend to not make room for that in your busy schedule. I don't.
Helps us remember why we're here.
Oh, right. So, and they were also having band, was that, am I correct?
Yes.
They have band afterwards.
It's a big night.
All right. Tomorrow, for those who are interested, it's the 7th and 8th grade, so if anyone wants to go listen to them sing. I think that's great. All right, before we move on to communications, I'm going to make a motion to add item F under new business, and that is adding the 2016-2017 Board of Ed goals that we discussed at our retreat. We have them in a draft form to look over.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor of adding item F under new business? Board goals?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No abstentions. So moved. Okay. Communications. Dr. Jacoby, did we grab that printout?
Okay. Why don't you do that one and all?
So the first communication, I have a pass around a copy for everyone. It was from the, it was updating the plan of conservation and development. You can take a look front and back based on the big meeting that was held. There's some other meetings for everyone to take note of and participate in. I think it's important we take a look at everything that's going on that came from the Planning and Zoning Commission. The second communication was an email I received this afternoon. Dr. Jacoby's grabbing that so we can discuss it. It's based around the deal we had with Siemens and taking a look at whether or not we still need to pay for a particular service. And although the Board of Selectmen has the authority to rule on whether or not we cut out a service that is a $4,000 cost, she's asking for input from all the boards. So I thought I would share that with this board.
What was that for?
The Siemens was something we got into. I don't want to describe it wrong. We looked at all of our energy efficiencies, and they came through and gave us a plan on things that we could do to upgrade. And
Save electricity.
Yeah, I don't think there was solar power involved, but they took a look at everything that we had with it. And it was across, it was townwide. It wasn't just within the school. So it was in this building, in the library. There are many buildings included in this study. And so you could see some cost savings. Many of those we're already seeing.
They guaranteed cost savings, but the only way the guarantee is held up is if they do this audit, which we have to pay for. Is that correct?
Correct. So,
how much is the audit?
The audit is $4,000. It's a measurement and validation. So since the town implemented a performance contracting project with Siemens in 2013, one of our annual expenses that is spread out among the users, and that includes the Board of Ed, Senior Center, the Town Office Building, Public Works, is a $4,000 fee for Siemens' measure and validation report. While useful to us, this report is required for the Town of Willington to hold our savings guarantee with Siemens. You may recall the guarantee was that if we did not see the savings predicted, Siemens would pay us the difference. This report demonstrates what our energy usage and savings are each year for the building. It's a useful, Christina is saying, it's a useful report and a good exercise to go through each year. Her opinion is that it isn't worth the $4,000 when we can actually do this ourselves by reviewing the actual expenditures on a timely basis. That's something Don and her staff plan to do on a more frequent basis anyway.
Who's the guarantee?
That's what it sounds like.
So it's all you're paying for your guarantee.
Yeah. Correct.
Who's so unless we're going to save more than $4,000.
It's spread out over all of the users. So it's spread out amongst the Board of Selectmen, the Board of Ed, the Town Office Building, Public Works, the Senior Center. So everyone gets a little piece of the pie.
So
at the time, Siemens told us most towns only do the M&V exercise for 1 to 2 years, at which time, if they are realizing savings, they decide they can save any more, even more, that $4,000 by not continuing.
Did she say what we're saving?
She did not reference that.
So they did the study, or are we paid for the study?
We've done that for a couple of years.
We've done that for several years. So we began this in 2013. Okay. So the report is being done. It can still be done in-house without saving the $4,000. But yes, that guarantee is gone. But I believe we're seeing savings over everything that we've done.
So they did change.
So again, we're not voting on this. It's just something to be aware of that she's asking our opinion. So.
Are we in a contract with them? And if so, for how long?
Yes.
It's a town contract.
And it was a long term.
It was a long term contract.
Okay. Yeah. It seemed to me that the town should pick up the
I don't believe the terms are going to change at this point. I don't believe the terms would change at this point that suddenly the town would pick up the whole $4,000.
If I might just comment,
yes.
I've had a little bit of experience, not with Siemens, but with a similar company. And when we no longer pay the annual fee and we put it back in the hands of the users, our savings began to diminish. And that's one of the factors. Now, Christina just mentioned this to me in passing. We just got this today.
Yes.
Erica and I. And that's my, it's just a comment for whatever it's worth. When you have someone looking over you, people tend to turn off lights, turn off computers. And when you don't have that occurring, sometimes you lose the savings that you gained previously.
The one thing to know is if this board as a whole has a strong opinion about it, we should share that with Christina And we have till the end of the month to make the to make this decision if we're one way or the other. An extra thing to know is it is not in the budget. They did not put it in the budget for this year, so additional funds would have to be discovered.
So all $4,000 is for us to pay?
No. It's spread out over the users. But although the Board of Selectmen has the authority to make the final decision, that's not typically how our Board of Selectmen has worked, and so they're asking our input. Doesn't necessarily mean how we feel. You know, one board is going to make a difference, but she certainly wants to hear from us. As a board, if we have strong feelings as to continuing this, but just keeping in mind that it was not budgeted for.
Eric, if I may,
yes.
One other comment. I believe in order for you to make a reasonable decision, we probably ought to know where the savings are and what the dollar savings are, and over time. And if you don't mind, I would ask her for that information. And then I'll share it with all of you, and maybe we can just do a sort of email vote to say we think we should maintain it, we think we should not. And then I'd like to know what our exact cost is. So it looks like dividing by 1, 2, 3, 4 of us, it's about $1,000. Again, I only tell you from my own experience, when you put the money into this kind of thing and then you walk away from it after 2 years, you stand a chance of losing the savings that you were able to gain during that time. I'm not a Siemens representative or anything, but okay. If you're agreeable,
yes. If you can find that information, and then again,
I'd be happy. And I'll send it out.
Keeping in mind
email.
That you know we are not voting on whether or not to keep it or not. We are just sharing our opinion as a board. Okay, thank you very much. So on to superintendent's reports.
Well, let me start first by giving you a real quick update on the superintendent search. I'll do it, I'm going backwards here in my items that I listed. We're on target in terms of the timeline that you approved when we met in retreat. We have a survey up and we've had a number of people already respond to the survey. We've had an ad, we posted the ad earlier. And I will tell you the reason why we did that was because I learned that there are going to be about 20 superintendencies open in the state of Connecticut this year.
Wow.
So I thought, let's get out there early and see what we can see. We have had a very interesting response within 10 days. I have 6 completed applications, and I have spoken I've had 4 additional inquiries. And I'm conducting focus groups now. I did 2 today, so I've met with about 50 people. I have a PTA focus group scheduled, and I'm going to try to schedule a community focus group before our next board meeting. So it's kind of tough this time of year. People don't, we all have so much going on after work. But we're right on target, and things look very positive. With Erica's permission, when we put the agenda together, I asked her if I could take a few minutes to talk a little bit about the budget process that we're utilizing this year. It is a little bit different than what we've done in the past. Our first step was to look at our fixed expenses for 17-18. I didn't give you anything in writing on this. I'm just talking you through this. Because I want you to know where we are. If we, just looking at our fixed expenses, which are our contractual agreements, and in particular medical insurance, those kinds of things, we were looking at about a 3.8% increase, which in dollars is about over $300,000. And we looked at our budget in that those fixed expenses, anticipating that our total student population will remain relatively unchanged over the next 5 years. I looked at both projections that we have. I have a new projection from NESDAQ. We're still looking in the 430 range for students. So our step one was to say, hey, what are our fixed expenses? If we did nothing else, we have a budget that's increasing at 3.8%. The second step, and we did this collectively, the administrative team, we drafted our values and our priorities, and we aligned them with the board goals. And I want to read you a few of them. Educating children is our first priority, followed by raising expectations for continuous progress. Second value is improving all student academic achievement and assessing success through a variety of measures, not just one measure. Third was the importance of integrating the arts and physical activity. I'm hoping that that Hall will be bringing you a new schedule. One of the things we're trying to incorporate into that schedule is a recess for some of our younger students. So arts and physical activity are essential components of a real comprehensive education. The fourth is focus on active learning. Our kids are not passive learners any longer. We want to focus on active learning using critical thinking and authentic learning, and finally problem solving. Also, we felt it was very important in this community and all communities to maintain meaningful relationships with our youngsters, with their families, and with this community. And last but not least, maintaining our facilities, particularly as it relates to safety issues, very important space needs. We don't have space in some of our places, and accessibility. So first step, fixed expenses. Second step, these are our values and priorities. Third step, this was brand new to most everyone here. We applied the concept of zero-based budgeting. And just a real short definition of what zero-based budgeting is. Oftentimes when people do budgeting, and they begin with what they expended last year. So if you expended $5,000 in supplies, you start with $5,000 and you say, how much shall I increase this or how much shall I decrease that? Zero-based budgeting says, no. You go back to zero. And you say, I have 49 kids, and of those 49 youngsters, I need $5 per youngster for supplies. Therefore, this is what my supply account should look like for the 17-18 school year. So we could not do the whole budget. That's a massive undertaking, and particularly in your first year. But what we did was we selected heavy-duty parts of the budget. We did zero-based budgeting on staffing. We're working on it in transportation. That means we're reviewing all of these contracts, meeting with vendors. We're looking at supplies and textbooks. We're looking at technology. And I'm personally looking at every single contract we have. So that was step three. Still an ongoing process. So what I'm sharing with you is where we are tonight, not where I hope to be when we finally get to the end of the budget. So now you take all those things into consideration and you develop a budget which represents those values and is aligned to the Board of Ed's goals. First thing was important to us was maintaining reasonable class size in order to devote appropriate resources to students. Second was to continue the integration of 21st century technology throughout the schools, something you have a real good start on. Third was, and very important, investing in our professional staff through staff development. And one of the things that I'm going to share with you is, if it all works out, we really need to do something more with what I'll call curriculum leadership. We need to revise our existing curriculum. They've done a lot of great work with UBD, as you're very familiar with, and you supported that. But we're in a different time. We can still use elements of UBD, but we have different standards now that we've got to meet. So we need to begin to align with new standards. And then you review your instructional practices and how assessment fits into that. So it's curriculum, which is the heart of what you do, and then it's how you change your instructional practices and target your resources, and finally, how do you do both formative and summative assessments? In other words, how are the kids doing this week, and then how are they going to do, for example, on the SBAC or any other achievement tool that is we're trying to determine how much youngsters know. We also wanted to manage our resources efficiently and effectively. And what you're going to see is some reallocation of certain funding. We've redirected some funding. I'm not going to give you details about that because I'm right in the smack in the middle of it all. But that's a strategy we're using. And finally, we're doing an assessment of the current conditions. We want to do that with your support. Current conditions of our facilities to include safety and space needs supported by projected enrollments. Our goal is to establish a logical approach to developing a long-range plan for Wellington facilities, school organization, and grade configuration. I've prepared and I'm submitting through CIP a request for a facility study for our schools. I have given you in your board packet what you see, that first page is the message that I sent. I've sent this out to three architectural firms, all very highly qualified, some of whom I've worked with in the past. And I said, okay, guys, I want you to give me a one-page proposal. And I sent them the next page, which is, you know, I outlined what we wanted in the study. It was here, let's see, it was on the left-hand high folder. But it, and I'm sorry, I thought she gave you a copy of that. And then I also gave them our invitation to lead for the new superintendent, because I thought that gave them some other information. I'm supposed to have a proposal from three firms tomorrow. So I sort of put them on a timeline.
Can you explain, you just said something about through CIP. Is this something, the survey would be paid for by?
I'm hoping it's a survey.
So what they're proposing back, you would then be able to put into the request.
In other words, I'm going to put CIP, that, right. What you have to do with CIP is show them
this
what
is,
it might
this
cost.
Is the, this is the step before you go
exactly,
to CIP.
Exactly.
Okay. I was just
and that's
about the
thank
order.
You for that clarification. I'm guessing, based on my conversations with a couple of these folks, we're talking between $10,000 and $12,000 for what I'll call like a phase one review. But if you look at the document, I'm asking for a lot. I'm asking them to assess the exterior of the buildings. I'm asking them to assess many, many elements, the electrical, all of the stuff that has to be looked at very carefully so that you have data that you can move forward with this community to say, we want to renovate School A, or guess what, folks? Based on these recommendations and information, we're not going to be able to do any of this. Now, I will also tell you that I am seeking funds outside CIP. If I'm successful, we can pull it out of CIP if it gets in there to begin with, but we'll see how that goes.
I mean, I think we all knew we were at the point where we have to start spending some money to find out what our actual options are.
Yeah, we can't just go by what we think.
Right, and we know, you know, I think we're at a point where we know where we'd like to go with this, but without any funds and support to do that, we can't do anything.
But
so.
I also think you want to keep your windows and doors open for options, and that's why you want people that are knowledgeable about facilities, are knowledgeable about schools and organizations of schools. And I will tell you, before I do the last piece, which I'm sure you're more interested in, where am I percentage-wise with this budget?
This is not that piece.
There are some things coming down. There are some things coming down the pike that are in the hopper at the State Department. I had the privilege of meeting with one of the financial people from the state last week, and there are two things happening. There is a committee that is developing a different set of standards for what towns are reimbursed with regard to construction. I'll give you a perfect example. The state is looking at every way they can save dollars. So one of the things that right now, this is in draft form, but one of the things they're not going to fund in new construction is they'll fund anything that goes in the walls for technology, but they will not fund computers. So when we build a technology middle school in a community, I was able to equip that entire school with all the technology that you worked so hard to equip your schools with. And I got it all reimbursed in terms of our reimbursement rate through the state. That's called FF&E. That's called furniture and those kinds of things. They are not going to fund FF&E, so that if you need chairs and desks, no funding any longer. So things are changing there. The guidelines aren't out yet, but what I've been told, it's not great. The second thing that is happening that could have a very big impact on you is that there's a look-see at communities that are tiny. They are not going to force regionalization. But what they are going to do is to provide incentives for people to do shared servicing and considering regionalization of a sort, but they're also going to have disincentives. That hasn't been defined yet, but you know there are dollar signs attached to it. So that's the kind of thing, and I don't share this with you to scare you, but it's just when you start looking at your plans for the future, you got to know what's out there in the atmosphere that could be coming back to look, that you're going to have to be, you could be impacted by. So, all right, step one, fixed expenses. Step two, our values and priorities. Step three, applying zero-based budgeting. Step four, developing our budget. And finally, and I love this proverb, so I share it with you before I tell you where I am in the budget. But we subscribe collectively, this year the administrators and I, to the Chinese proverb that learning is like rowing upstream. Not to advance is to fall back. Therefore, we're committed to the ongoing improvement of our educational programs to prepare our kids for the 21st century. And with all the process to date, and that doesn't mean this is where it's going to be, but to date, we're looking at a budget in the range of 2.5% or less. Questions?
Now, did you figure educational cost savings into this, because last time around, we lost over $100,000.
No, I did not. I did not look at it. That goes directly to the town, but I did not look at that.
Yeah, I don't know if it was 100. Well, I think it was 65. I think it was 65, wasn't it? That the town kind of absorbed. So we got our increase, plus they absorbed another
65. I did not, and we don't know what we're getting in ECSC. That's part of the issue.
We know it's going to be worse.
Well, we think so. It's something I will try to have that data, but I can't promise it.
The cost of sending youngsters there affects the money that's available as well.
Donna is going there. She's there this evening. E.O. Smith. I'm meeting with the E.O. Smith, our Willington Board of Members.
So
I'm meeting with them Monday to talk with them. But I did talk with the superintendent there, and we did put an increase in the budget. We put a percentage increase based on, E.O. Smith had a budget, which you may have seen, that showed an increase by, I think he went out 5 years, and we used that percentage increase. And I called him about that, and he said he wasn't really sure whether that was going to be the number or not. We also looked at the number of our kids that were going.
But we have a decline in enrollment. I don't know what our enrollment
is, but it's 430. We have fewer youngsters going next year.
Yeah, it's level.
Yeah.
We have had a decline in enrollment, which has affected our costs. We were trending up. We're probably around 18,000 plus now, and we're going to hit 20,000 probably for a year or two.
Per student.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At E.O. Smith.
Are you talking about here or at E.O. Smith? Or
here.
He's talking about here.
Oh,
here.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's good.
So the way we see a percentage of EO is our tuition rises per student?
Well, remember, that comes out of the town's budget, but I'm still trying to get a handle on it for the town, and I don't have it yet.
Okay. No, and our MBR is tied to
the EO Smith.
EO Smith.
Yeah, it's all together, all there. But
we don't have to, we could actually decrease based on enrollment.
But it
stays the same, so no. Right.
Right. We looked at the enrollment. It's not a major.
It's not a major difference.
No, it's not significant. But
we're losing a big class this year.
But we have to remember that he's lost a lot of money there for grants he talked to me about. So I don't know what his increase is going to be. The increase we suggested that be put in the budget was the increase that was in the document that E.O. Smith provided for us. That showed like a 5 year, went out 5 years.
But you said they're meeting tonight, so
Donna will have some
more information from you after that.
She's at that meeting this evening. And Bruce said he was going to give me a call once he had a little better handle on things. Okay.
And they're usually pretty good about that because all of their final decision-making is after we've gone through our entire process. So it, although it's tough, yeah. They've usually been right on with things with us, so we look forward to seeing that.
So 2.5% is basically salaries, and then what else did you say?
Well, no, it was 3.8% if we just did the salary increases and the transportation. What we've done is started to carve out some decreases in various places to get down to 2.8 or 2.5, and we're still looking at it. I mean, I'm not done yet. There's a lot to look at. Yeah. Contracts and renegotiating contracts, and tuition charges, and use of computers. There are certain things that we're phasing out the iPad, so we don't need that contract any longer. So we've taken that out of the budget. So that's how you get. We've met with the insurance broker, and initially they were talking at about an 18% increase, and that is huge, huge. So we met, Don and I and Amanda met, and actually Christina wasn't able to join us, but we met with him, and I'm expecting to hear from him sometime, hopefully by next week. And I will tell you what I suggested to him. I suggested that he go back to Connecticut, which is what we have currently, to say to Connecticut, all right, we will not go out to bid if you give us a favorable rate increase, but also you have to give us a commitment in terms of a ceiling for a year too, because you have to be so careful about that. I think we probably could get a lesser rate through Anthem, but only for 1 year. Then it'll go sky high. That's the problem. So he's going back to talk to Connecticut to see if there's a way that we could get some kind of a guarantee from them, and I gave him a range, and it was nowhere near 18%. So we'll see how effective he is. We put 15% in the budget.
I don't have any questions.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure. Do we have any contracts coming up?
Negotiated.
We negotiate this year, and they'll be implemented next year.
No.
No. So next year we have
negotiating teachers.
So teachers and.
You have three.
Not all three are next year.
Yes.
Next year.
Yes.
And what I've already committed, I've talked to a couple of the union leadership, and we're going to start talking in the spring. So we have some idea of what they're doing. So the next person coming in would have some ground, some ground rules that they could begin to work with. So.
What was our increase last year?
2.8, I believe. That's where you ended up. I think you... You went in, you had various percentage increases, yeah.
What about social ed? A lot of that increase was because of special ed increases. What do you see happening with that?
We're looking at that now. We're looking at tuition. One of the big issues is transportation, and I've been on the phone with them.
How many outplacements do we have this year?
I believe we have three.
And we had four last year, though, right?
Yes. So, but we don't exactly know what we're going to have next year either.
We don't know what we're going to have tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But we're still meeting tomorrow morning again for the fourth time with Holly.
One other question: We had a lot of people retire after the budget was approved. That
yes.
That budget, we're not going to see any favorables from that.
No.
I'm just saying you're probably going to need to address that one.
Yeah.
We should be able to answer that.
I asked how many new hires we had. I think they were in the neighborhood of 10.
Right. In the past, we've offered an incentive to retire early, and it hasn't always made a change. Last year, we had several where we knew about, and then there were some changes made in that. One said yes, and then didn't end up retiring, and we had some late. So the most you can do is ask.
No, but we planned when we did the budget
right.
That we were expecting two. We ended up with five.
Right. Well, because we can only budget on what we knew at the time, and so Dave had gone out there and asked.
I understand what you're saying. Is there cost savings? Yes.
Yeah.
Is there cost? Is there a rollover cost saving?
Except we did vote at the end because we knew that was going to happen. Didn't we put something back into the budget?
Yes, but you're saying from last year to this year.
Just saying, we got those numbers clear.
Right.
These are the positions that we got the approved budget on last year. Then we had these changes, and this is what we have now. And this is why we want to keep them.
We don't have very many retirements this year currently, I can tell you, at this point in time.
Board of Finance is well aware of the changes that happened, and I just think we should be prepared to answer those questions. That's all.
The other thing I've been looking at is I've asked for a spreadsheet as to how many years of experience. What does our teaching staff look like, our certified staff? You know, how many people are in 5 years? How many are 5 to 10? And because that gives you a notion of what it may look like for you two years down the road if people have their time in for retirement. You can sort of think, do a little long-term planning. Nothing resulted from that. I tell you, we're not leaving a single rock unturned.
Yeah, I mean, we sometimes people assume that just because we had 3 more retirements than we planned, that we have a savings. But maybe we hired people with the same tenure, and we don't have any step pay salary savings. Those are the types of questions I want to be familiar with.
Yeah, I'll follow up on those retirements and then what the new hires. I know we had 10 new hires because I asked to see that.
And then you should also look at what else we spent that salary line on.
In other words, transferred out of that to...
No, did we pull back in a paraprofessional? You know, there were some savings, and then there were some things that we spent some of the savings on.
Because we needed them for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
So well, we need to know exactly what those numbers are. We shouldn't be doing
this
blind.
Well, let me kind of do like an audit trail and then see what I find.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have 5 retirements and 10 new hires. We're going to have to explain those 5 positions which made at the superintendent's discretion.
Well, there weren't 5 new, it's not as though there were 5 positions that weren't already there. There were 5 new hires. One of them was a social worker, which was approved within our budget. So that's a new body. So these could be people who left. Some of those hires are
just
not just teachers.
Yeah.
They are at the paraprofessional level as well, correct?
Right. Not 10 new positions.
Right. No, you also did a gifted teacher. That was one of your...
I believe the only new position was the social worker position. Yeah. The other positions weren't new positions. They were replacement of either retired or a teacher that left.
I think the point is that we have to have a lot of clarity about what positions we had that we expected when we did it in February, what positions we had at the end of June, what positions we had at the beginning of September,
and
what the salary and benefits were at each of those points.
And I'm certainly hoping that at another level at the Board of Finance table or somewhere else, they're not hearing 10 new hires and thinking that there are 10 new people.
That's a good point.
There's a completely different... philosophy between hiring and creating new positions. Those are two very different things. We've been very open.
Replacement word differently.
Absolutely not. I think we had 10. We asked how many new staff.
Again,
there were 10 new hires, but we didn't create 5 new positions. So I just think it's important that we,
Let me start with retirements. Let me look at the people that were brought into the system, whether they were replacing someone who retired, and then if there were new positions, then we should clarify that as well. And I know that there were 2, the social worker and the gifted and talented person.
Well, that wasn't new.
We had a gifted. She was a retirement. Absolutely right.
She was a retirement.
We added a...
Yep.
No.
Well, Mrs. Pettit was a special ed teacher and the preschool teacher, though. Right?
But that her position was through the special ed department. As the preschool teacher, that's what that position was. So it wasn't, she just held one position, it was a 1.0.
I think what we need to know, though, is that if it's hard enough for all of us to keep this clear, and we do this every month, the Board of Finance, who only does this focused on once a year, is going to have a much harder time remembering from last year, and they might not be following every change that we do. That we all
need
clarity.
I'm all about clarity, and this discussion's helped that to me.
One other thing... there was an IA or 2 that came over from ESCON.
That's already
so they might look like a new hire. previously they were contracted from Eastcon.
That's in there. You'll see that. Okay. But I'm talking primarily around certified staff.
Certified staff.
Yeah. But I, you know, I think I have to be able to explain that too, because I saw that as well. Mm-hmm. There ultimately was a cost savings with that. That's yeah. And then finally, in your packet, I wondered what your thoughts were, and I talked to Erica about this. I put together just, and really this is an absolute draft, and if you don't like the idea, we can just abandon it. But I thought that it might be helpful in our January meeting to have our, as our when our board meeting ends, to perhaps have me do an introduction to the budget, the superintendent's proposed budget, and then do a workshop the following week on the 17th, and doing two back-to-back days sometimes helps us to move through things more quickly, and also, you know, you keep things in mind if that works for you. And I will tell you that we're changing somewhat the format of the budget. We're going to have provide you with what I'll call a program budget. So what you will see is you will be able to see what it costs, for example, to provide art instruction and supplies. And then we're going to have a little explanation about what the art department does, how many youngsters they're servicing. It just gives you real, it's a very clear way. As when I looked at some of the documents that were in the previous budget, I had no trouble following them, but a program budget gives you a better, more in my opinion, a more comprehensive look. So we won't exclude some of the things that we did before, but we're going to try to walk through the budgets by program. And I think we're doing, for example, what I call, we developed a system-wide expenses. Because when I tried to figure out what we spend for legal fees, I had to go into all these crazy lines, you know, to in places where we lumped that together with other purchase services. And in that other purchase services were related services, were related to special needs. So we're going to try to pull that out into something. It's a system-wide expense, your legal services. There are other things that are system-wide expenses, like PowerSchool, running PowerSchool, so that you would be able to see what it, where your money is going by program. So we're working on it. I have people working really, really hard. Donna has been amazing. She is she's sticking right with me, and she's still talking to me, which I think is pretty remarkable. So anyway, I don't know if you like this idea of these dates. You know, and we scheduled another one on the 24th. We're scheduled to go to the Board of Finance.
February.
I
don't want to get the wrong date.
I'm sorry.
I can tell you right off, with the exception of our meeting on Tuesday the 10th, I could not attend any meeting on a Tuesday evening before 8 p.m.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
And I'll just put my two cents in as a morning person. I barely make it to the end of these meetings. To have to add a meeting on top of this would be, so, if the regular meeting
is short,
was very short, and we could be out by 9,
yeah,
that would be fine. It just never seems like it works out that
way. And my question is, would you be typically at our January meeting, there has been a very in-depth presentation of the budget at that meeting. Would you, are you suggesting that that be done at this workshop following?
I would suggest that I walk you through a notebook and provide you with an overview of the whole budget.
During the regular meeting or in this
after
meeting?
After you adjourn your board meeting. And so
that would significantly decrease the regular meeting and just move it into a separate meeting.
I guess the question is why wouldn't you do that at the meeting? Why would you do that after the meeting? What's the benefit of doing it at a budget workshop after we adjourn?
You can do it as a part of the meeting. Ordinarily, I think you separate that. I mean, I've always separated the introduction of a budget from a regular meeting, but I was just trying to save time so that we wouldn't have to book so many evenings. But these,
I see what both points. So to me, having it the same time as the regular meeting is going to take up the same amount of time. It just breaks it down into two different kinds of meetings, so I'm not really sure on the same night why we would need...
They're both public meetings.
Correct.
And the public could stay for them.
Correct.
I just, so I guess I was just missing why you would do it...
I don't know.
We haven't done it that way before, so I just don't know what the benefit is.
Well, you have, though. I mean, you actually did budget workshop meetings.
Right, but the introduction to our budget was a presentation, essentially, in our meeting. So typically in the January meeting,
it doesn't matter.
There was less room for conversation specifically. This would move our meeting along, and then we'd have... Mm-hmm. I can see the benefit of doing it both ways.
Yeah, I don't think they have the meeting first, because if we... You know, once we get in the budget, it may go on and on.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Well, so we never get to the meeting if the budget was addressed first.
And that's typically what happens. It takes forever to get to the meat of the meeting because we've had so many questions. So I guess separating them out just gets us through our meeting, which is there, unless something comes up, I don't see a lot in that.
I mean,
and then we can really just focus on budget.
But think about that first step. Let's just think about the first step in the budget presentation. Whether you want to make it an item on the board agenda, it doesn't matter to me. But what my goal is, I will give you a written letter of transmittal so you will understand everything that where we are. How did we get to this percentage that I'm recommending to you? So you've got, but you can't read all that all at once. I'm going to do a little overview, and then we're going to walk through the budget. And then you have time to take it home and review it. And now we come back and we review program by program on whatever night you choose to do that. To me, that gives you time to digest the material, to drop me a note if you have a question that's burning that you want answered right away. We can just do the board agenda as we do it with the board of the finance report and all of those kinds of things. I won't do a superintendent's report that night. I'll just do the presentation of the budget.
So we'll essentially fly through our meeting, and then
that would
boom,
be fine.
Into,
that would be fine. Right. If we were going to go until 9 and then start the meeting,
I hear you.
I saw this, I was like,
absolutely. 5 a.m. comes early in those cases.
So if we look at this, if we crossed out the 17th, so we could do the 18th, which is a Wednesday.
There's a 17.
Pardon me. I think that Eric is not available.
I'm not sure what everyone else is. I cannot do a Tuesday or a Thursday evening before 8 p.m., unfortunately, with the exception of our regular monthly meeting.
So why don't we schedule... We started on Tuesday the 10th at the second half of the board meeting. We do our first workshop on the 18th, and we do our second workshop on the 24th, and we probably ought
except
to...
Except the 24th is still an issue.
It just means that... Right. If I'm the only one who can't do it, and that's
no,
so be it,
no,
but
Eric,
I'm
easier.
Not...
For me, it's easier if it's Mondays because I tend to travel Tuesdays through Thursdays.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Friday's not good for anybody.
I'm perfectly fine. You know, maybe that week we could plan on a Monday, Monday the 23rd and then the 25th.
Wednesday.
That would be good. I'm going to be at a conference starting on the 24th for the rest of the week.
You would have trouble with the 24th? How about the Monday and the Wednesday, the 23rd and 25th?
I can't do the Wednesday, but I could do the Monday.
Okay.
I can do the Monday.
23rd is all right.
Okay.
Okay, so let me...
So if we did 18...
Help me to see. So we're one...